Once a copper tube is charged, percentage of the charge.
Now this next verse spoken by Kunti Devi, I'm not going to let anyone else chant. Only me. But it's not working. Oh, that's why. You have to turn it on. Now don't chant this. Vipada santuta sasva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato dasaram yatsyat apuna bhavadarshanam. Now vipada means distress or disaster or difficulties. And shantu means let there be. Ta, let there be difficulties. All difficulties, shashvat, means continuously, again and again. Now, Kunti Devi has just undergone such tribulation, such difficulties. She lost everything. She was married into a different family. And then her husband was the king. And then into the forest, and her children, and then exiled, and then lost everything and gained everything. And they were so pious, and still everything was lost. So we don't even know where she suffered more, when she was in the forest suffering with them, or she was alone and they were in the forest, just suffering. But during those times, Krishna was with her. Now see the perspective that she views life. There is such a philosophical underpinning to her life. When we think about most people's lives in the contemporary world, there is no philosophical basis to it. There is no deep basis to it. There's no, what to speak of, spiritual foundation. Of course, I'm saying this in general, and there are still many pious people in this world. But there is simply, for most people, an increasing number of people, there is simply a hedonistic philosophy. What does hedonistic philosophy mean? Raise your hand. What does hedonism mean? Jay.
Taking
your own
actions directly. Your
own?
You think you know everything.
No, that's not what hedonism... What does hedonism mean? Yes?
Basically, take drinking and be merry.
Just enjoy your senses, enjoy your senses. Straight materialism on the lowest level. Not the lowest level, but just sense. Life is meant for... To excite the senses. You know you're going to die, so you might as well enjoy as much as you can as long as you're alive. And then when you die, it's all over. It doesn't really make a difference how you get your sense pleasure, but just enjoy. And then you're dead, it's just like a long sleep. This is the hedonistic, materialistic philosophy. There is no philosophy. To call it philosophy is actually not correct. There is no philosophy. What's the difference between this way of thinking and an animal way of thinking? And yet, this is life nowadays for most people. And no wonder that society... I don't know if it's an Australian expression, but it's going to the dogs. Is that Australian also? It's going to the dogs. In other words, practically speaking, people are acting more and more like dogs. This is the way that dogs think. But Kunti Devi, there is philosophy. There is deep thought. There is age-old wisdom. There is culture backing up what she is saying. There is Shastra. There are holy books. There are holy people. She's saying that what is really valuable, my dear Lord, is to be in your association. Vipada shantutashashvad. And because previously, when there was difficulty, we had you with us continuously. And now, you are leaving us alone in Hastinapur, and later on in our prayers, she will say that our success, everything good that we have, is simply due to your presence. And now you are leaving us, and everything that we have will be like ashes. Raise your hand if you've ever tasted ashes. Yes. Yes. Actually, it's a good way to brush your teeth if you don't have any toothpaste. And also polish your breasts, by the way. But it doesn't taste very good. That's what things, you could say material life tastes like that, or really a life without Krishna. There is no rasa in it. There is no flavor. There is no... So she's actually having experienced that, being with Krishna, even in the distress of life, her life, and having depended upon Krishna, she prefers that difficulty with Krishna to a peaceful, nice situation with all opulence and power, but no Krishna. Now, how many of us are willing to do that one? Because, because usually, even when we come to want to be with Krishna, it is for getting our own pleasure and getting our own distress removed or our own wealth increased. But Kunti Devi was not like that. She was an emblem of purity, and therefore she was sati in the very first verse. She was completely chaste. She saw Krishna. So vipara shantu tas shashvat. So this verse can be also misunderstood in many ways. First of all, one way is she's crazy. Who would want that? Who would want distress? Who wants distress? No one will raise their hand and say, please give me more distress. But actually, Kunti Devi isn't saying, give me more distress. She's saying, Krishna, you are that which is most valuable in my life, in my existence, and I cannot, and I'm ready to sacrifice anything, everything, as long as I have your association. I cannot live without you. This is what it means to be a devotee. Oh, no one left. Thank you. But that's what it actually means to be a devotee. That Krishna, Krishna Mata, Krishna Vita, Krishna Pranadan. Krishna is everything to me. Bahushaka Tvanantasya Buryas Avivsayinam. That the intelligence and the thoughts of someone who is not fixed, who is not a devotee, is many branched. I want this, 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 and a little bit of that, and a little bit of that, and yes, a little bit of Krishna too. And if we want a little bit of Krishna too, we can have a little bit of Krishna too, and that will certainly be for our benefit, and that's never, never discouraged. But yet, I'll read Prabhupada's purport. I'll just finish the verse first. Vipra shantu tas shashvar. I want, please, let there be calamities again and again. Tatra, tatra. Here and there, again and again. Oh, Jagat Guru, you are the supreme teacher of existence of the universe. Why? Bhavato darshanam yatsya. Because by having your darshan, by being with you, by seeing you, by being in your association, by having you see me, apuna bhava darshana, that I won't have to see birth and death again. Because this life, when we entangle ourselves in so many material desires, and I want this, and I want that, and I want this, and I want that, and they will never be... Does anyone write down a to-do list? Write your hand if you keep a to-do list. Have you ever had a to-do list where there was nothing more for you to do? It just has this magical way. You also do a to-do list?
Yeah.
Yeah? How long is it?
If it's...
On a good day?
On a good day, it's very short.
And on a bad day?
It's really... Okay, but, oh, okay. You know, on a bad day, it's short, but the each thing is very long, separately.
Wow. And that's a bad day.
That's a bad day.
Okay. And on a good day, there's nothing to do.
No, on a good day, there's still the same amount, just easier to do.
Okay, so after you get everything done, what do you do when there's nothing to do?
That never happens.
See, I told you, it never happens. Because there's always so many other things that come that have to be done and demanding. And sometimes I think, I'm always trying to push and get everything off my to-do list, so that I can do what I really want to do. But I never get around to doing what I really want to do, and I don't even know what it is that I really want to do. So sometimes we should just like stop for a minute and do what we would do first if we didn't have anything on our to-do list. Do that first. And then start. You like that idea, huh?
Yeah.
You could play cricket then or something. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. That's foolish. You should at least pray to Krishna, please give me a six, Krishna. Please give me a six. Oh, just, I don't ask for much. And maybe some ice cream, too. A six, at least a six.
I never get to. I will get to my to-do list if I do what I want to do first.
Then you'll never get to your to-do list.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you want to do, actually want to do what's the really, really important thing in life, and it's always being put off? Thought about me. Thought about me. Always, it goes to at the end. That's what people's life is usually like if they're pious. Even if they know what they really want to do, if they know what's really good for them. So Kunti Devi, speaking on a particular level, is saying what's really good, what's the real purpose of human life, is to get free from material existence, not increasing our to-do list, increasing our desires, adding another thing that I want. I see someone who has something that I don't have, and I think that's going to be the thing that makes me happy. So I add that by virtue of my desire, putting another desire in my heart. And those desires are the seeds for our next birth, where we will have those things that we didn't have in this life, that we always wish that we did have. Because only if I had those things, I really would have been unhappy. And this is described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where it describes that material life is like a banyan tree, a swata vriksha. From branch to branch to branch, with each one offering a different variety of pleasures, of sense enjoyments, from a lower level to a higher level. And we jump from one to the other, to the other, to the other. This is a philosophical underpinning of life. I am eternal, and I will take my next birth according to my karma, and to what I desire and what I deserve. So what is it? Did you ever see the people hang gliding? Have you ever seen people hang gliding? What do you think about that? When you see people hang gliding, what do you think? What do you think?
Dangerous.
It looks dangerous. What do you think when you see
it? I don't know. I've never seen it.
You've never seen it. What do you think? Does anyone say, I wonder what would that be like? Yes, okay. I know. I didn't. That's why I didn't even ask you. Yes, you also think like that. I wonder. Just think. Just be up there. A quiet, peaceful place, being able to see everything from above with no energy being taken. Finally, some peace. floating. I don't want to put those desires in your heart. I shouldn't do. But you can see there's a lure to it. There's a kind, even Prabhupada said, he used to joke about the people surfing. He said a few things about it. He said, they were in Hawaii, he would walk on the beach, and he would say, and the water that is called when they're dancing on the water, what is that called? And Prabhupada, someone, surfing, Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, oh, I call it suffering. He would would say that all the time. And then he would say sometimes, because when you do that, you have to wait all day long, and then there's five people who want to catch the same wave as you, and only two of you can catch the wave, and then you're waiting all day long, and you have the perfect wave, and it lasts for... eight, huh? If usually, that would be a long ride, I think, a minute. A minute! So Prabhupada said, this is ecstasy, one time he said that. But for how long? So you get it, but then you've lost it. And it's fleeting, and it's flickering, and it's on the material platform. So Kunti Devi is saying, I want to get out. She didn't go and look for disasters. She wasn't particularly looking for disasters. Let disasters come to me again and again. And if they're not coming, I'm going to find them. I'll go and climb tall trees and jump off of high roofs. And I'll take all my money and just throw it away. And then, no, it wasn't like that at all. But she wanted Krishna. That was the real point. And in the time of difficulty, and this was the special time for her and the special quality of a devotee, in times of difficulty, she felt there was nowhere else for her consciousness to go, for her mind to take shelter of, other than Krishna. So in time of difficulty, her consciousness was focused on Krishna, 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 Krishna. And she was experiencing Krishna in that. And that's what she wanted. And that was actual pleasure for her. And that was actual security for her. She wanted Krishna. So here's a comment from Prabhupada's purport. What is the benefit if we become comfortable by some arrangement but have to take birth again? Even if there is suffering in Krishna consciousness, tolerate it in Krishna consciousness. Somehow, thinking of Krishna saves one from again taking birth in the material world. And that is the real benefit. That is actually the purpose of a human life. I'd like to read just a few comments by Srila Prabhupada that he put in his purport. The material world is certified by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without a trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all kinds of unavoidable misfortunes. What word sticks out there? Suffering all kinds of unavoidable misfortunes. Not that we look for difficulties, and not that when something happens to us that we can avoid, a difficulty happens, we don't avoid it. But when it so does happen that we're in a circumstance where the medicine doesn't work, where there's a difficulty of one kind or another that's unavoidable, we accept it. Who will say that I'm innocent and I don't deserve this? No. Suffering all kinds of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realizations, because that is the mission of human life. So somehow or another, use every situation, the difficult situations and also the pleasant situations, both come to us. Use both of those to go towards Krishna. Use whatever circumstance you find yourself in to use that as an energy to push you or pull you to Krishna. This is what Kunti Devi is saying. This is what Prabhupada is saying. That is the mission of human life. Otherwise, it's the hedonist, materialistic philosophy. Just enjoy. Just enjoy, just enjoy. And then you die and it's over. But we are eternal. That is the essential, foundational philosophy that Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita. This is from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada. So, That is very interesting verse. That calamity, vipada, danger, that is very good if such danger and calamities remind me of Krishna. That is very good. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjnevapmikritavapakam. A devotee, how does he receive dangerous positions, situations? So it's not that the devotee particularly wants dangerous situations or misfortune or unhappiness, but he knows that this is the very nature of the material world. Dr. Mataji mentioned this morning in the text. It's the very nature of the material world, and it's unavoidable. No matter what we do, it's unavoidable. So, how he receives a dangerous position. Danger must be there, because this place, this material world, is full of dangers. These foolish persons, they don't know that. They're trying to avoid the dangers. That is struggle for existence. Everyone is trying to become happy and avoid danger. That is material business. Atyantika sukham, which means ultimate happiness. A man is working and thinking, let me work very hard now. And let me have some bank balance so that when I get old, I shall enjoy life without any working. That is the inner intention of everyone, because no one wants to work. See? As soon as one gets some money, he wants to retire from work and to become happy, but that is not possible. You cannot be happy in that way. So it is not a negative philosophy. It is not a cynical philosophy. It is realistic about the material world, but it is very positive because the Krishna consciousness philosophy, Kunti Devi, the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita just point to the lotus feet of Krishna, which is the source of happiness, which are the source of happiness. We should be very much careful. Another lecture, Los Angeles, 1973. We should be very much careful. Our Krishna consciousness cannot be diverted. Even if there is danger, even if there is suffering in Krishna consciousness, we should tolerate it. That is the instruction. We should welcome such danger. And we should pray to Krishna. What is that prayer? Tatenu kampam susamikshamano. My dear Lord, it is your great mercy that I am put into this dangerous position. Is it easy to be that sincere? It takes full sincerity and conviction. That is the viewpoint of a devotee. It is the aspiration of an aspiring devotee. But that is how a devotee sees life. Somehow, Krishna has come in this form. He doesn't take danger as danger. It is Krishna's mercy. What kind of mercy? Now, bhunjana eva atmakritam vapakam. Eva atmakritam. Atmakritam. It is certainly, this is due to my having done something in the past. Materialists, hedonists, they don't believe in the law of karma. That because I've done something, something is coming to me. But they cannot explain why we are all different, why we all have different fate, different health, different look, different tastes, liking this, not liking that. They cannot explain it. There's karma involved. Some people, good fortune seems to follow them, and some people mixed, and some people just the opposite. So the pious materialist tries to do things good in this life, so in his next life so much enjoyment will come. But he doesn't think, let me get out of this cycle. Let me get out of this cycle. So the devotee thinks, Krishna has come to me in this form of this difficult situation. It is Krishna's mercy. Due to my past activities, I was to suffer so much, but you are mitigating that suffering, giving me a little suffering, just like a token punishment. Another lecture. So don't think, because I have become a devotee, there will be no danger, no suffering. Prahlad Maharaj suffered so much, the Pandavas suffered so much, Haridas Thakur suffered so much, but we should not be disturbed by those sufferings. We must have firm faith, firm conviction that Krishna is there. He'll give me protection. Kaunteya pratijanihi namibhakta pranasiti. Don't try to take benefit of other shelters than Krishna. Always take to Krishna. This is the advice of Srila Prabhupada, and this is the advice of Krishna himself. Unless we must take to Krishna consciousness in all circumstances, even if it's the most dangerous position. We must keep our faith in Krishna's lotus feet, and there will be no danger. What do you think about that?
No danger.
Because when... What is your name? Yeah, you. Yeah, what is your name?
Yashvin.
Yashvin. Hare Krishna. How old are you?
Eight.
Did you ever go walk across a very busy street when there are many cars going back and forth? Huh? Yeah, but one time did you? And who was with you? And what were you doing when you were with your mom? Were you walking? Did you hold on to her hand? No? Let's ask somebody else. We'll talk to your mom about this later. Anyway, I still do. But it is like that if one is holding on to one's mother or father's hand, or sometimes you see that on one hand you have the mother and one hand the father, and they're somewhere between walking across the street and pulling you across the dangerous street. And the child doesn't feel fear, despite the fact that it is indeed a dangerous situation, because he knows, she knows, that she is sheltered. Because they care for me more than anyone else, and they would never, ever allow anything harmful to happen to me. So that's the mood of a devotee. He has faith in the relationship. And that is what Prabhupada said, is what it means to be a devotee. And if Krishna wants something to happen, it is just a token of what I deserve. And if Krishna stays with me, and this is what Kunti is saying, that if in a dangerous, difficult situation I'm with Krishna, then that is the most wonderful thing. So just for a moment, try to consider how much happiness and pleasure and deep satisfaction and security is there in to be with Krishna. Because dangers are difficult, obviously, but Krishna is so overwhelmingly wonderful that the dangers appear insignificant. Okay? Or did you want to?
Well, of course, I understand the principle, but I'm not convinced of myself.
You're not convinced of yourself, or you're not convinced
myself,
of Krishna?
I'm not convinced. Yeah. Although I understand that.
Well, we've been married for 40 years. I know I'm not supposed to try to convince you at this point. Krishna, Gopinath, you help her. So if you say that Krishna's going to take care of you, you're worried. But if I say if you have your Gopinath with you, are you going to worry?
Yes.
And what will you do because you're worried?
I'll hold on to him.
No, that's the point. Hold on to him more tightly. And then the purpose of the dangerous situation has been served. Hold on to Krishna, hold on to Krishna, hold on to Krishna. Okay. Please go. Together, two.
I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again.
So the point of the calamities is to see Krishna again and again.
For seeing you means that we no longer see repeated births and deaths.
And then all the dangers are gone as a result of seeing Krishna. This is atyantika sukha. This is ultimate happiness. Set your sights high. Now the next verse continues. There are three verses. Now this isn't the end of Kunti Devi's prayers, because this is just a midpoint in the prayers. Or not even a midpoint, this is 10 out of how many? Who remembers how many there are? 26, if I remember correctly, yes. So here's another one that is similar, and it looks like one thing, but it actually means something deeper. The first verse, that first verse, looks like she wants calamities, but really, she wants Krishna. Because in the calamities, she's holding tightly to Krishna, and Krishna is there. And the result of that is no more difficult. So, this verse is similar in the sense it looks like it means something, but it means something far deeper. Who's going to read this one? Can you read the Sanskrit? Okay, we'll do it together, the four of us, okay? Janmaishwaya Shrita Shri Bhira Amana Madha Pumam Naiva Hartati Avidattum Vai Tvamakin Shana Gochara. Now, Kunti Devi's intention really will become clear in this verse. Janma means, in this case, good birth. Not just birth, but having a high birth in a good family. Sometimes, I've seen this especially in India, but in other places too. You see people that are so pious. They appear to be like devatas, demigods. They almost like float down the stairs and float from here to there as servants open all the doors and everything. They're like demigods. Good birth. Aishwarya. What does Aishwarya mean? Not quite beauty, but opulence. So good birth, opulence, Shruta, learning, Sri, beauty, Bir, wealth, power, strength. Aishwarya is more the wealth. So good birth, wealth, learning, Sri and beauty, these are the material opulences. And if someone has these, even by birth, they're considered very fortunate. But Kunti Devi is saying, and everyone wants to increase these things, but Edamada, this increasing this means a person's mada or intoxication will increase. Intoxication, thinking that I'm very powerful, I'm self-sufficient, I don't need anyone. I have my wealth, I have my influence, I know this person, I know that person. Any difficulty that I'm in, I can get out of. You just pay a little money here, you talk to this person over there, you get out of that situation. But that is an intoxication. An intoxication means illusion. It is not real. Na'eva, arhati, such a person who's intoxicated by thinking, I have these things, I don't, well, what do I, what kind of bad condition I can get in that I can't get myself out of? Na eva arhati abhidattam tvai. Such a person won't be able to call out to Krishna with feeling. When it comes to a difficult circumstance, the kind of circumstance that Kunti Devi was practically speaking longing for, which she had no other shelter. She had young children, no husband, and Krishna was the only one, and she could call out to Krishna naturally with a full heart. With a full heart. Krishna, person who has these other things going on, these other shelters, just in case they don't have the ability to call out to Krishna with feeling. And therefore, Krishna, you are not their property. But you, Krishna, actually become the property. You become the possession. Tvama kinshana gochara. You become the possession of someone who possesses nothing in this world. Now that will take some explanation, because it can easily be misunderstood. It means that no one is, the person can possess all the above things, and Prabhupada, we'll hear Prabhupada say that. He says these things are really like zeros. And if you take shelter of a zero, you end up with nothing. And someone might say, well, that's only one zero. But if I have 10 or 20 or 50 zeros, I'll have so many zeros. But no matter how many zeros you have, they are really nothing. But if you put a 1 before 1 0, you end up with
10.
And if you put a 1 before 2 zeros, you end up with
100.
And if you put 1 before 3 zeros, you end up with
1,000.
Very good. If you put 1 before 1 0, how many do you have?
10.
Very good. And we'll leave all the rest calculations to everyone else. So these things in and of themselves, they don't have any substance. So therefore, possessing them in the sense of thinking these are mine and these are my shelter, this will not allow someone to call out to Krishna with a full heart. But Krishna, on the other hand, Tama Kinsana Gochara, you are the property of someone who has no other shelter but you. I've seen this even in my own little way, that sometimes I pray. And I'm praying half to see if Krishna is really going to listen to me, and half, and I always have a plan just in case in the back. And just in case this and this. And when I pray like that, Krishna is very, very, very intelligent. And he doesn't hear a word I say, or at least he doesn't let me know he hears a word I say. And there's, generally speaking, there is no result at all. And I think, well, praying is not good. But really what the problem is, my consciousness. And I've seen such a difference. Every once in a while, perhaps by chance, there is some sincerity. And I actually call out to Krishna in chanting or in prayer or study or something like that, and actually take shelter. And immediately there's reciprocation. So the problem isn't on Krishna's side, as far as I can understand. The problem is on my side. That it's holding on to zeros. Holding on to zeros. But you, Krishna, you are the property of those who are materially exhausted. That's what a Kinshana Gochara. You are easily approached by someone who has no other shelter other than you. Here's what Prabhupada says in his purport. This is, if you've read this purport, you'll probably remember it because it is very, very striking. Materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, calling out to him, O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he's unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord. Whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. There's a little story, it's like a Hitopadesh story that I once heard, that there were some dogs together, and they saw a rabbit. But it was right before lunch, or they hadn't eaten, so they were a little tired. So they weren't so interested. But they said, why don't you go chase him, to one of the dogs. Why don't you go chase him? So the dog said, okay. So he stood up and then he went after the rabbit. And the rabbit went, and the dog went, trying to catch him. He was barking, trying to capture him. And the rabbit ran into some bushes that had stickers. And the dog just barked and barked and barked, trying to frighten the rabbit to get him to come out, but the rabbit wouldn't come out. So the dog, he gave up after some time, and he went back to his dog friends And they all laughed at him. Ah, you couldn't catch the rabbit. You went after the rabbit. We didn't think you could catch him. You went after, you couldn't even catch a little rabbit. And the dog replied, it's actually not very surprising that I couldn't catch him. I was running after my lunch, and he was running for his life. So when one is running for one's life or calling out to Krishna as if one's life depended on taking that leap, because we all have that kind of doubt, but when your life depends on it, you forget the doubt. Krishna, Krishna, because there's no choice. Like, there's another little story like that. This man, he was running or something, he was playing on a cliff, and somehow he slipped and fell off. And as he was falling down, he saw that it was so far to the ground, and there were rocks and rivers and crocodiles and everything. And suddenly he grabbed onto a tree branch. And he looked down, and he was terrified. And he prayed, and he saw that the branch was starting to... Oh, God! If there's anyone else up... If there's anyone up there... Whoops. If there's anyone up there, please help me. Please save me. Please save me if there's anyone up there. And then he hears a voice. My son. Just let go. And I will care for you. Is there anyone else up there? So it's sort of like that. But in time of difficulty, if one has piety, one just calls out to Krishna fully. Calls out to Krishna, 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 Krishna. But if we're calling out to Krishna with one hand and reaching for our mobile phone with the other hand and looking to see if what credit cards we brought with us with our other hand, and then we're dying, Krishna is going to say, call me back later. Well, he won't say that. He's, you know, he's not cynical like that, but doesn't have the same potency. Every parent knows this. Not only every parent, every mother knows this. Everyone knows this. There's a way that when the child is very young, a baby, when the child is crying, you can judge the parents, especially the mothers, they can judge whether the child really means it or not. And they know that sometimes the child is crying, but it's not serious. And they just let them. But when the child gives out that cry that stops everyone from doing whatever they're doing and looks that way, that they really mean it and they want the mother, immediately the mother is there. She doesn't have to think, is this, you know, does the child really mean it or not really mean it? I'm not really sure if I should finish what I'm doing right now, or maybe this, or maybe I can, someone else. No, immediately. And Krishna hears that call of the devotee who really means it. And Prabhupada has expressly said this, and he said that the chanting is like the cry, sincere crying of a baby for mother. And then mother, Krishna, Radharani, immediately come. Immediately. There's a quality to the feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. So, again, there is an essential point in this, but it also can be misunderstood. And Prabhupada has explained a few things in this regard. Once he told the story of a Kinchana devotee One, what Srila Gorkha shows Das Babaji Maharaj, whose picture is over there. He was completely a kinsana. No, he had nothing material, practically speaking. Nothing material. A complete tyagi, renunciate devotee, just would chant and 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 take shelter of Krishna. Completely a kinsana. No material affection. Affection on the spiritual side only. And his disciple was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada told the story how one time this wealthy zamindar from who was a devotee came to Navadvip, to Mayapur, to see Gorkhasos Das Babaji. He had a he was holding a big festival in Calcutta on his land, and he wanted to invite Babaji Maharaj to come. So he said, "Please come to my festival." And he said, "No, I'm not coming." "No, you please come to my festival. Please come to my festival. Please come to my festival." "No, no, no, no. Please come." He said, "You have so many tenets that you're controlling. Why do you want to control me also?" And he said, "No, no, 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 no. I don't want to control you. I'm surrendered to you. I'll do whatever you want. I'm completely surrendered." And Gorkhasas Babaji Maharaj said, "Oh? Then just sit here and don't ever go home again and chant Hare Krishna." And when Prabhupada told the story, he said, and he, Gorkhasas Das Babaji Maharaj, had a good sense of humor. He said that when he told the story. But his disciples, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had so many temples, so much money used to come in, big palace, Prabhupada said, the Bagh Bazaar Mutt, a big marble palace. But he was also a kinsana. His affection was to Krishna, not to matter. And he didn't look at matter. And whatever wealth Krishna gave him for preaching as his own, or meant for his own purposes or enjoyment, it was all Krishna's. And in that way, although he was very, very wealthy, he wanted one, this is one of the main points of his preaching that Prabhupada picked up, that everything in the material world is Krishna's energy and it should be used in Krishna's service, not renounced. If it's not mine, how could I renounce it? It's Krishna's. Krishna's given this to me according to my karma, or my fate, or his desire. He somehow put this in my hand. Let me use it in his service. I'll be practical. I take what I need. I take what I require. But I don't try to increase the fever of my material existence by more and more and more and more and more thinking in an intoxicated way that this is what's going to be the pleasure of my life. Are you leaving? I didn't mean to say anything that would make you leave. I was only kidding.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm just...
Oh, okay. I thought I said something that insulted you or something. Okay. So Prabhupada says, so everything can be utilized. Good parentage, if you utilize it. If you remain intoxicated, don't utilize it. Intoxicated thinking, this is what's going to save me. Then it is not a good asset. But you can utilize it for good purpose. If you have an asset, if you utilize that asset for Krishna's purpose, it will be better, a better position. The same example, just like zero. Zero has no value. But as soon as you put one before zero, it becomes 10 immediately. Immediately 10. Another zero, 100. Another zero, 1,000. Similarly, these, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shri, so long you remain intoxicated with it, it is all zeros. But as soon as you put Krishna, it becomes 10, 100, 1,000, million. Yes, that is the opportunity. So you have got this opportunity. You have got zeros. Put Krishna, you become 10. And then we'll just move on. This heavy preaching, yes. But it's not my preaching. This is what I'm preaching also to me. This is what Kunti Devi is saying. This is what Prabhupada is saying. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to tell us. You can't if I want to, if I'm holding this and try to pick up this and this at the same time, it's not going to work. I have to put this down. And what does putting it down mean? It means putting down my identifying with it as my security and the source of my pleasure. Identify it as this is Krishna's, and I can take what I require and let me use it in Krishna's service. That is purity. That is sincerity. And that isn't always so easy to do because we have such a tendency to become intoxicated by it. Then in the final verse, we'll read Prabhupada's translation of that one. Not we will read, but yes, thank you. 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Please read all together.
My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached.
Your Lordship can be easily approached, yes?
By only one, by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling.
Like in Chinese, they say, what does that mean?
I want to have a son.
Oops. That's what happens when Cantonese is spoken with a Brooklyn accent. Oi chai. You don't speak proper Cantonese. Long second on the wall. What to do? But how do you say I love tea?
Yum cha.
Yes, yum cha. Sorry. Yum cha. Mo'oi means love. So we can't love tea and Krishna at the same time. Oh, we can't have, because then we're going in so many different directions. Thank you. Om Gaitak. Now the final verse here, and there's many more, but Namo Kinchana Vittaya Navritta Guna Vritte, offering obeisances to he who has no affection for matter. Krishna, whatever he is doing, there is no material affection in it. Navritta guna vritte, and not touched at all by the material modes of nature. Completely transcendental to it. You materially possess nothing, Krishna. Everything that you deal with is on the spiritual level. All your dealings are completely transcendental. Nothing to do with the modes of material nature. Because you are atmaramaya shantaya. You are self-satisfied. And shantaya. Very, very, very gentle. Because unless we are feeling satisfaction within our own hearts, we cannot be gentle with others. Kaivalya pateye namah. And you are the master of all the monists, the impersonalists too. So, she is offering her obeisances to Krishna. My obeisance is unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. Again, materially impoverished doesn't mean that one is a beggar in the street, but it means that one is a beggar for the mercy of Krishna, in full dependence on Krishna. And you have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. And the devotees are also like this. You are self-satisfied at Atma Ramaya, and therefore you're the most gentle and master of the monists. So therefore I bow down to you. Just one last reading here from Prabhupada's purport. A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. A student sacrifices his childish tendencies to gain a better education. A servant gives up his job for a better job. Similarly, a devotee renounces the material world not for nothing, but for something tangible in spiritual life. Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and others gave up their worldly pomp and prosperity for the sake of the service of the Lord. They were big men in the worldly sense. The Goswamis were ministers in the government service of Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a big jamindar of his time. But they left everything to gain something superior to what they previously possessed. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. So whether one has lots of material prosperity, which Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted, to show that, to take away the fear of the devotees, that if you become a devotee, or fear of the non-devotees, that if you become a devotee, then you will be impoverished and on the street or something like that. So Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to show the incredible wealth that he had due to his Rajasuya sacrifice. He became the emperor, and yet he was a great devotee of the Lord. So if you're in that situation, but hold the Lord's lotus feet as your greatest treasure, or somewhere in the middle, or have very little at the time of the end of life, then everyone is basically in the same condition. And let us try to take a step forward in holding on to the great treasure of the lotus feet of the Lord. We can try to chant, we can hear, we can associate with devotees, and pray that that we have the strength and spiritual determination and taste to hold tightly to the Lord's lotus feet at all times. Okay? Thank you. So, what we'll do now, Oh, yes. One more thing that Prabhupada wanted to say.
So long we shall think that for my protection, this arrangement is there, for my protection, this arrangement is there. That is not misking. Misking just means when I think I will actually understand it, that I have no other protection except Krishna, and then I fully surrender. That is the best qualification for it. Therefore it is said, Naivarati Avitatunte, Tvam, unto you, who are you? Akinchana Gocharam. You can be understood only by a person who has lost everything. That's the complete purpose was that when we lost everything, you are with us. Now we have got kingdom, we have got prestige, we have got so many things. Now we are going to Dwarka.
And then the second one?
This is Kunti's realization. Janmai sadya sutta sribi, egumana sutta. For Krishna, we master everything very gorgeous and first class. But not for him. That is akuncha. Personally, we should not possess anything. Simply for Krishna. So, that attitude should be maintained, because here it is said, Dham Akinchana Bhuta. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he said that Niskinchana. Here it is called Akinchana. And the same thing in different way, Niskinchana. Akinchana means negation, and Na means negation. Niskinchana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Niskinchana sa Bhagavad Bhajanam Mukhas. Bhagavad Bhajan to advance your spiritual life, to be engaged in Krishna's devotion and service. That is the aim of life. That is the purpose of human form of life. So for him, he should always remain niskincha. Niskinchana sam bhagavat bhajana muha. So, therefore Gaur Kishore Das Bahaji, he remained niskincha. And his disciple Bhakti Siddhanta said, he also remained niskincha although he possessed so many temples. Because nothing was for his personality, but for Krishna.
Okay. So, let us meet again in 15 minutes at about, what time? What's the best time?
5:35.
Okay. So come back and then we'll have questions and answers and we'll finish off. We have some something interesting to do at the end of our retreat here at Gopinath Dham. So please come back on time and we'll begin with question and answers and see you in how long? 10 minutes, is it?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Okay. Hare Krishna.